So today's reading, as Will has said, is from Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and it's that well-known story of Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm in church. It's absolutely fantastic to be here. It feels really weird and also strangely wonderful to be back in the church building. There are actually a few of us in the building this morning. I'm here in the office, and there's Ben in the main hall, and Heather Roach has joined us this morning for the first time online, and so she's out in the foyer, so we're kind of spread out, but it feels really great. So our series, The Good Life, looking at the book of 1 Peter, that finished last week with a very powerful message. And so this week I've got free rein, which is very dangerous. So today I want to take us on a journey together as we explore an idea that you find in scripture, which actually someone much wiser than I has called divine disruption or holy interruption. I guess you could also say it's about hearing God's call, which is why we're in Exodus chapter 3, but I really like that term, divine disruption, so I'm going to be using that this morning. It's something that actually God's kind of been really talking to me about the last few months, especially as we've all had our lives disrupted by the pandemic. But I have to confess, it's not an original idea of mine. I have stolen it completely from a very wise lady and teacher called Jill Weber. It's like a pattern that we find in the story of God again and again and again. And this pattern of divine disruption is made up of three strands, which we'll look at in more detail. Awareness of God, attention to God, and then disruption by God. Throughout the Bible, we see and find people hearing and responding to the call of God on their lives. And in most cases, you will find these three strands. And we're going to trace this pattern through the story that we've had read to us so beautifully by Ashley in Exodus 3. Apologies to Ashley. It's always a nightmare passage with all those names of the different peoples. So let's go. I wonder if you can look back with me to verse 1 of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this. Do you notice how God calls someone who's busy? In fact, God has a tendency to call busy people. Moses and David are both looking after sheep. Gideon was threshing wheat. Samuel was serving in the tabernacle. Elisha is ploughing a field. Peter, James, and John were busy running a fishing business. Matthew was in his booth collecting taxes, literally at his desk at work, when Jesus interrupts him and asks him to follow. God calls busy people. So I would say, don't discount yourself. Don't excuse yourself from being called by God just because you're busy. Allow yourself to be interrupted. If we think about Jesus, he was a master at this, so busy. And then he kept allowing for these interruptions in his life. Jairus comes running up. A Roman centurion approaches him. A woman touches his cloak. There's a woman at a well. Over and over and over again, we see Bartimaeus at the end of the road calling out his name. So allow yourself to be interrupted, and don't discount yourself from being too busy to hear the call of God. So we're going to read on. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up.
You're imagining the scene. Moses is there. The sun is setting. And we were thinking about what might have caught, made his awareness. And maybe it was that, that sound of the crackling of wood as it burns. Maybe it was the heady smell of smoke wafting along the evening air. Maybe it was the golden light of flames leaping into the air. Whatever it was, Moses becomes aware of something beyond him. And I wonder if you've ever had that feeling, if you have ever known that awareness that there is another presence with you. The poet William Wordsworth describes it beautifully. He says, he calls it the intimations of immortality. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Love that. For Moses, however, it's just having that flash of awareness, that intimation of immortality. Actually, that isn't enough. There is a further step that he takes. He starts to pay attention to this presence. More on that later. But can you imagine how different his life would be if Moses had seen the bush, registered that it was on fire, had that awareness, but then just walked on? Recognized the light, but not allow it to interrupt or disrupt his plans. What would he have missed out on? What would the people of Israel have missed out on? The thing is, if I'm honest, I know I've done that loads of times. I'm pretty sure actually we all have. In our day-to-day life, every so often we've become aware of a presence when we've been talking with someone, or when we've been out somewhere, or when we've read something or seen something. Something has peaked within us. Maybe we've been chatting with someone and we hear a whisper in our ear to invite them to Alpha. Or we've passed someone sitting on the floor outside of a train station or a shop and we felt something stirring within us, an idea to go and buy them a hot drink. Or perhaps we've sat with someone, we've been chatting with them, and the idea has popped into our minds to ask a certain question or offer to pray, but we've let that whisper fade away. We've walked past, let the idea pop out just as it popped in. What have we missed out on, I wonder? So, Moses becomes aware of a presence, the presence of God. But more importantly, Moses pays attention to it. Go back to verse 3 with me. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. So, having noticed the bush, Moses stops. He looks, listens. There's an inquisitiveness here, a curiosity. But until I looked at this passage for speaking with you this morning, I had never noticed this tiny little detail, but really significant detail before. Do you notice that God only speaks once Moses is paying attention? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called. It's like God says, aha, I have your attention now. Now I know you're listening. Now let me tell you some great and wonderful things. You see, attention matters. Attention is important. God is going to do something truly life-changing for Moses in a moment. So he needs Moses to be focused. Again, lack of attention means we miss out. Confession time. It's a bit like when Matthew starts talking to me about cars or about technology, which has been happening quite a lot in our house with buying a new car or releasing a new car and all the Stream Team stuff. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who does this. You sit there and your spouse tells you a whole load of stuff and they're quite excited about stuff. And they go, and you're not really listening. Reading a book, or I'm usually doing some crochet, and then there's a silence, and then Matthew goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, it can't just be me that does this, surely. What I've learned is that attention is important so that you don't miss out. It shows, apart from anything else, that we value and respect the other person in the conversation. It means we're ready to take on information. It's why we ask our children to look at us, to show us they're listening when we need their attention, to make sure they understand and are ready to do what we're asking. I wonder how often we pay attention to the presence of God in our lives. And I wonder if we did so, would we find out that in fact he is far more present than perhaps we thought before? How often in those moments when we become aware of him, of that gentle whisper, do we pay attention to it? I'm reminded of the story of Samuel. When he keeps getting woken up by God's voice, calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. He's aware of a presence, only he thinks it's the old priest Eli, so he goes and keeps waking him up until the penny finally drops. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on this passage, says, one of the earmarks of a faithful servant is an attentive ear. I'm going to read that again. One of the earmarks of a faithful servant is an attentive ear. We want to be faithful servants of God, don't we? And so we need to cultivate an attentive ear to God's voice. So we've looked at two of those three strands that I talked about earlier on. Moses becomes aware of God's presence. And he turns his attention to it. And then, bam, life as he knows it will never be the same again. His life is divinely disrupted. God says, you are going to lead my people out of slavery and into freedom. God says, you're going to stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful person on the planet, and demand the release of my people. You're going to perform signs and wonders. You're going to see extraordinary things. You will lead my people. And all of a sudden, Moses A shepherd wandering in the wilderness is being invited into a story larger than his own. He's being invited on a grander journey than he could ever have dreamed for himself. But isn't this the biblical story over and over again? Abram, quite happily settled, and then one day his life is disrupted by God and he's invited to leave all that is familiar and travel to a chosen but unknown land far away to be the father of a whole nation. Gideon, his life disrupted as he's threshing wheat in a wine press, invited out of his hiding place and into a stunning victory over God's enemies. David, disrupted and invited down from the fields and onto a throne. Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, Matthew, the list goes on and on and on. When you look at the biblical narrative, there is almost this constant cycle of interruption, someone's life by God, and invitation into a life far more than they could ever dreamed. Or actually, there is an interruption, an invitation, and then, crucially, a yes. Moses, for Gideon, David, for Samuel, for so many, down all of the ages, there is an interruption into their life by God, invitation into a larger story, but they have to say yes. Each of us actually are part of this. If we say we're a Christian, we all have had our lives interrupted by God. We've all become aware of God's presence, paid attention to Him, had our lives divinely disrupted as we accepted His invitation to forgiveness and relationship. The great thing is, it doesn't actually end there, but God continues to speak to us, to call us. If only we would pay attention. Each of us this morning, we are invited into a story larger than our own, a grander journey than we could ever dream for ourselves. This summer, I celebrated 2 years as an elder. And I have to be honest, I have struggled for a few months with whether my calling was actually to leadership. And what really helped, and it's yes, I'm still an elder and everything, but what really helped was to go back and to remember my burning bush moment. That moment when I became aware of God's presence and paid attention to it. And God disrupted my life and said, actually, I want you to preach and I want you to lead. It was in a conference room in Birmingham a long time ago now, but to have that moment and to say yes, taking me on a grander adventure than I could ever have dreamed. And yeah, it's tough sometimes, but it's when you follow God's call, there's nothing that brings more to your life, nothing. And so here we are, at the end of August, 5 months, 22 weeks since we last met in this building. And life has certainly been disrupted for us in so many ways. And yet I wonder if in this season of disruption and discomfort, there isn't also an invitation waiting for us. We've been forced into new ways of living, new ways of being, new ways of doing that sometimes have felt uncomfortable. And I think about Moses He made all those excuses. Leading certainly wasn't comfortable. But the call of God, that invitation to have his life divinely disrupted, was immense. And that invitation is there for us too. If we allow ourselves to be more aware of God's presence in our everyday lives, to pay attention to that presence when we feel it, and then to allow our lives to be divinely disrupted by God. That disruption here in Buttskin has actually meant that we are praying way more than ever before. The Alpha is going online, and nationwide Alpha is going online, which I don't think would ever have happened before the pandemic, but so many more people are joining the course and hearing about Jesus. Church attendance, because it's had to be pushed out onto the internet, is up. People are logging on and hearing the gospel, maybe for the very first time. There is an invitation to a story larger than we can imagine, a grander journey we could dream of for ourselves. When I was thinking about this morning and praying about this morning, I felt God give me a picture. And I'm going to share it before I pray, because it might be for you. And if it's not, that's fine, but I'm just going to put it out. I sense for some of us, and maybe even for church itself, God is wanting to disrupt us a little more. I got this picture of the soil in a garden being disturbed, being turned over, being disrupted. And it's being turned over, ready to get some air and some light into the soil so that it's ready for new life and for new growth. I guess my heart is that as individuals and as a church, we're going to practice tuning our ears, our minds, our hearts into God's voice, to become more aware of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to pay attention to it, to allow our lives to be divinely disrupted for his glory, and to be willing to say yes, whatever call God places on us. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are such a wonderful and faithful God. And you are amazing in the way that actually you want to work in and through human beings. In fact, your spirit chooses always to work through humans. It's a divine human partnership. And you continually invite us into a larger story than we could ever imagine ourselves being in. So, Father, this morning, this moment, this week, this year, help us to be alive to and aware of your presence in our lives. Help us, Father, not to miss those whispers of your voice calling to us. And Holy Spirit, help us to pay attention to you. May we learn to discern your voice and to give it our full attention to hear what you would say to us. And Father, I pray that you would disrupt us. Help us to have an interruptible spirit, just like Jesus, one that is ready to go wherever you call us to, speak to whomever you would have us speak to, do whatever you would call us to. And Father, in response to your invitation, your divine disruption, I pray that you would give us a heart that willingly says yes to you. In your name, pray. Amen. Amen.